President Trump generated a lot of conversation around the military parade he threw yesterday for the 4th of July. Not all of it positive.
Well, the 4th of July is really a salute to independence and to freedom and to the values of America.
That's former Secretary of Defense Ash Carter. He says we have Veterans Day and Memorial Day as military holidays. I talked to him today about his new book, Inside the Five-Sided Box, Lessons from a Lifetime of Leadership in the Pentagon. But we started with this week's holiday.
So it's fine for the military to be part of things, but what they're really supposed to be doing is training for war. The military is not for parades. It's supposed to be training for war.
So at what point does the Secretary of Defense need to put his or her foot down and say, no, we're not going to do X, Y, or Z because that is politicizing the armed forces?
One of the jobs is to protect the institution from politicization. So they should put their foot down. I was Secretary of Defense during the 2016 election campaign, for example. And I was asked every day, candidate so-and-so, remember there were 20 or so candidates one day, said thus and so, would you comment on it? And I would say, no, I won't, because I'm the Secretary of Defense. And furthermore, I'm not going to allow other military officers to comment on it. It's inappropriate. We have civilian control of the military in this country, but we also have a depoliticized military. Very important principle. And another thing I just have to say is I'm a stickler for personal conduct, because we were very strict on personal conduct in the military. I mean, you're not lying, screwing around with subordinates. These kinds of things we're very hard on in the military. And I think you need to set an example. And I see in Washington these days a kind of personal conduct that, is not good for our young people to see.
Secretary Carter, the rapidly escalating tensions in the Gulf between the U.S. and Iran right now, leaders in Washington and Tehran say they don't want a fight, but stumbling into a shooting war seems increasingly likely. How could this situation, in your view, spiral out of control? What would that look like?
Well, Marco, I think you used the right word, which is stumbling. I don't think either our country, and the president has expressed himself on this, wants a war. He just said that. And the Iranians have to know they're not in a strong position. So the problem is not intentional war. It's unintentional war. Now, when I was in office, 10 sailors mistakenly sailed into Iranian waters, were detained. And that was immediately, I was alerting forces. We had airplanes in the air. And we take that real seriously when our people are detained. Now, fortunately, the Iranians released them very quickly. But if that were to happen today with all this tension, that kind of thing that crosses a line, that's where you get unintentional conflict in an atmosphere of tenseness.
Yeah, and looking at it that way, as you reflect back on the Iran nuclear treaty, what benefits do you see of that today?
Well, first of all, it was a purely nuclear agreement. So as Secretary of Defense, it took off my plate, one of my headaches with Iran. But it didn't take all the headaches off. And I think one of the critiques of the Iran deal was that it didn't do everything. Now, that wouldn't have led me to recommend to the president that he throw it out. But that's crying over spilled milk now. You ask what effect it's had. While President Obama was still in office, they did all this stuff that was irreversible, like destroy a nuclear reactor, destroy a bunch of centrifuges. So we get that benefit, even though we walked away from the agreement.
Technology and the military is another big theme in your book. And as former Secretary of Defense and a physicist, you sought out collaborations with tech companies and Silicon Valley. How do you weigh the benefits and risks of these partnerships, especially when a lot of these tech companies have been platforms for serious challenges to civil society?
I mean, first of all, getting them to work for us was a challenge because back in the old days when I started out as a physicist, it was natural to work with the government. In the generation that followed, some of these companies and some of these technologists felt they had no duty to the government. And I tried to turn that around in the interest of defense, because we need to stay technologically advanced if we're going to continue to be good. Now, you're right. The same attitude that caused some people in the tech community not to work with defense caused them not to care about other social consequences of their work. That's why you see the filthiness of much social media. That's why people have concerns about artificial intelligence being applied to their lives. This is why we're concerned about jobs and training and the way technology can take jobs and nobody seems to care. These are serious matters where technologists have a responsibility to their fellow human beings. They need to pay attention to their social and human responsibilities. So we need some government regulation and we need some self-regulation by people that don't know better.
You talking about like the Facebooks, the Zuckerbergs,
sure.
the Twitter?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. These are long overdue self-awareness.
Given how technology was crucial to the manipulation of the 2016 election, do you view that as an act of war?
Certainly was deliberate aggression by Russia. And I bet you'll ask me next, did we do enough? And no, I'll tell you, we didn't, and we still haven't. If you need evidence of that, just look at Vladimir Putin. Does this look like a man who's chastened?
Well, the next question was, how should the U.S. be preparing for 2020?
We got to get really good at this because things are changing. The game plan that was used in 2016 is already outdated. The way technology moves, you're going to see deep fakes. You're going to see a daily barrage of rubbish.
And deep fakes are basically videos where you cannot determine whether what is being said by the subject is real or not.
Right. And for several hours at least, people will be led to believe that a certain candidate said something ridiculous. And some people will never see the second story that says that was rubbish.
You're saying we got to get good at this, but it's 2019 and the election is what, like 17, 16 months away?
Yeah.
So what do we need
things.
To do?
Well, two things. Some of it is exactly what you were talking about a minute ago, Marco, the responsibility of social media companies to partner with government to make sure they're not manipulated. The other thing is just being a resilient society. I think our people are more canny now than they were in 2016. I think everybody's going to need to not only count to 10, but count to several hundred after they see an emotionally stimulating story about the election. And before they get all fired up about it, wait to see whether it's really true.
Former Secretary of Defense Ash Carter, thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.